Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Today's message is a tribute to my mentor, my pastor, and my friend, Dr. Gregory J. Dixon, who will always be considered one of Indiana's all-time greatest preacher, teacher, author, and theologian. Achieving a greatness like that of evangelist Billy Sunday and Isaac McCoy. Isaac McCoy was a prominent early 19th century Baptist missionary to the Native American Indians. Dr. Dixon was a man of impeccable character and integrity. He did not shrink back when the time came to speak the mind of Christ on the many pressing moral issues of his day and age. He would take up the mantle and lead the charge through the uncharted waters of adversity as long as it would bring glory to the Son of God and defend the pure, undefiled Word of God. He was beloved by thousands and feared by the hell-bent workers of iniquity. Dr. Dixon labored earnestly for his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who saved him when he was a young orphan boy. A soon-to-be-released autobiography, The Boy with No Name, describes the turbulent childhood he endured until he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. His late pastor, Art Wilson, guided him to go on to Bible College, which was the newly formed Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, where he and the late Jerry Falwell were classmates and longtime friends. Dr. Dixon passionately adored his Lord and the Lord's church. He was immensely burdened to defend the sovereignty of Christ over his church, and he often taught on the subject the lordship of Jesus Christ over his bride. He strived to keep it pure, without spot, holy, and blameless with the washing of water by the Word of God. The movement he started was aptly entitled the Unregistered Baptist Church Fellowship, or sometimes informally called the Free Church Movement. Dr. Dixon, as a young man, became the pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple in 1955 and labored tirelessly to build the young church to be a beacon of truth in the heart of Indiana. In 1971, Indianapolis Baptist Temple was nationally recognized as the 11th largest church in America. The congregation led by Dr. Dixon tirelessly labored alongside their pastor to build a huge bus ministry that traversed almost every street in Indianapolis, transporting thousands of children and adults to services every Sunday. Over the many decades, untold tens of thousands of people came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and many were baptized in the church's baptistry. Dr. Dixon reached a multitude of others through the medium of radio, television, and in print. Many preacher boys and missionaries came out of the temple during those surging years of growth, including the establishment of many Baptist churches across Indiana. In the mid-1980s, 700 miles from Indianapolis, as a young engineer, I learned of Dr. Dixon and the Unregistered Church Movement via newsprint before I was even saved. And before I was saved, I heard Dr. Dixon give a God and Government presentation in Nashville, Tennessee, in the late 80s. Naturally, after I received Christ as my Savior via the medium of radio, I myself was drawn to Indianapolis, Dr. Dixon, and the Bible College he established. A year after I came to Indianapolis, I was honored to have him perform the marriage ceremony for my wife and I. As the Apostle Paul sat at the feet of his great mentor, Gamaliel, I had the pleasure to sit at the feet of Dr. Greg Dixon, gleaning as much as I could absorb from a giant of a man of God as he was. He was not afraid of controversy as long as he was fighting for a valiant cause for Christ. He knew Jesus was his commander-in-chief and the captain of his salvation. Dr. Dixon loved the Holy Bible and all the doctrinal truths found between its pages, and was willing to allow God to reveal to him new truths as he searched the Scriptures, as he grew older and wiser, even at the cost of losing all earthly possessions and prestige among his peers. As long as he apprehended a closer relationship with Christ and the knowledge of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Dr. Gregory J. Dixon was truly a saint in every sense of the word. He was admired by many, and his writings will long outlast his life and be treasured by multitudes in the years to come as more turbulent days come upon the churches. Dr. Dixon's worth and contribution to the churches may not be fully felt until the return of Christ, because of the many naysayers who fail to heed his ample warnings of the pending judgment at the judgment seat of Christ upon the late 20th and 21st century adulterous Laodicean churches of America. Hear the words of God. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." The Bible goes on to say, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." The true, unblemished church falls under his name and his name only, and is the called out assembly of faithful believers, also known as the body of Christ. Dr. Dixon's parting words to me was to warn the preachers not to forget to preach on the ever-looming torment of hell for the ungodly. The King James Bible says it best, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." Dr. Gregory J. Dixon went home to be with his Lord this past October 20th, 2019, at the age of 87, spending almost 70 of those years serving his King. Well done, Dr. Dixon, for you shall hear those precious words from your blessed and only potentate, and you shall wear a crown and sit upon a throne with your Lord whom ye love so dearly and served so faithfully on this side of death. You will be greatly missed here. We know that you cannot come to us, but we will come to you. Dr. Dixon is survived by his lovely wife, Wanda, who served alongside of him for 66 years. He is also survived by his 3 children, 9 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. Please enjoy this morning's message by Dr. Dixon. His last sermon that he ever preached in the pulpit was preached at Crown of Life Baptist Church this past August on the 25th, entitled Signs of Christ's Return. No one, and I mean no one, loved to preach more on this topic of Christ's return than Dr. Dixon. Dr. Dixon's mind was amazingly sharp right up to his last breath. He suffered for decades in his physical body. However, not so anymore, as he is wonderfully comforted in paradise in the bosom of Abraham. Please keep his wife and family in your prayers. God bless you, my friends, as you listen to today's timely message. This is part 3.
Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. When is Jesus coming? In an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. So maybe we better be careful what we're saying, who we're gossiping about, what we're watching, where we go, what we do. Because in an hour that we think not, when is he coming? In an hour that we think not. Now, the Old Testament is our example. Now, as I have been adjusting my thoughts and study on the kingdom, I've understood that every single thing in the New Testament is based on the Old Testament. We've always taught that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. We've always taught that. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for just a moment. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For just a moment. This isn't new doctrine. This isn't anything new. So I said, well, you're teaching something new. No, this isn't anything new. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I would not have that ye should be ignorant. Okay. Now look at verse 5. With many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. But they believed in God. They weren't unbelievers. Look at verse 6. But now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, and that as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ. Well, if they tempted Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of those things happened unto them for in samples, as they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age are come. For wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. All right. Now, what is the example in the Old Testament? What is the example in the Old Testament about the coming of Christ? What about Enoch? What about Enoch? The scripture says Enoch walked with God and God took him. Now let me ask you a question. Would God have taken him if he had not been walking with him? That's a very simple question. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, it says that Enoch was translated, that's the better word than we use the word rapture, the proper word is translated. It says Enoch was translated in that he pleased God. Would he have been translated if he had not pleased God? You answer the question yourself. All right, let's talk about Elijah for just a moment. Let's talk about Elijah. Now, it was everybody knew that Elijah was going to be raptured. It was prophesied. Everybody knew that Elijah was going to be raptured. Go back and read the story. And Elisha said to Elijah, when you go, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, if you're with me, when I go, your wish will be granted. All right, what did that entail? It entailed that Elisha, number one, would be watchful. He had to be watching. Secondly, he had to abide with Elijah. Night and day, he had to be with him. In the old days, they would call it pouring water on the hands of the master or the prophet. In other words, he was Elijah's servant. He waited on Elijah. He had to be with him night and day. He couldn't leave his side. Now, does that make sense? So when the chariot, when the angels came with the fiery chariot, what happened? Elisha was right by Elijah's side. So what happened? The chariot, the fiery chariot came right down and it came right between them. And they reached down and took Elijah, picked him up, took him on to glory, and left Elisha. Now I ask you a question. Is that a split rapture? Is it not? So did the Old Testament teach one was taken and the other was left? Is that not the example we have in the Old Testament? It is. Is that not the example the Lord Jesus taught? He said, then shall two be in the field. Matthew chapter 24, verse 40. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. By the way, that shows that it's going to be night on one side of the earth and daytime on the other side of the earth, right? Because some are going to be working and some are going to be sleeping. Is that correct? All right. As in the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah. Somebody says, well, there were only eight saved. Yes, only eight got into the ark and their families. Are you going to tell me that the whole world were unbelievers? No, no, of course not. Of course not. That would be totally ignorant to believe that the whole world were atheists, that the whole world were unbelievers. That'd be total stupidity believe that. In fact, for the most part, the whole world believed in God. When they believed God, they worshiped Him not as God. For the most part, the world believed in God. They just didn't believe it was going to rain. They just didn't believe it was going to be a flood. Do you know most of the world today believes in God? They just don't believe that He's coming. Most of the Christian world don't believe. Did you know that most of the Christian world today do not believe in a rapture? The Reformed doctrine doesn't believe in rapture, But they believe in God. They believe in Christ. They believe in the atonement. But they don't believe in the rapture. What about the virgins, both wise and foolish, in Matthew 25, 1 through 11? All 10 of them were virgins. They were all virgins. I'm not going to go into that. That's a separate sermon. But they were all virgins. He said, our lamps have gone out. They had had oil, but they'd lost their power. They'd lost their power with God. At midnight, the bridegroom came. There was even a division among the disciples. I'm not suggesting they were lost. They were not lost. Now, you've got your notes, and I'm not going to go through all this. You can read it on your own, but I want you to, I put all this down here because I want you to see how many times the Scripture says, watch. And I went through all of this to show you how many times it says, watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. Watch, therefore, for you not know the day nor the hour. For the Son of Man. Now, I want you to notice especially Mark 13, 34. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what the master of the house cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly. When is He coming? Suddenly. Suddenly. He's coming suddenly. He finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. And if you go back and look at the 10 virgins, it says, and they were all asleep. Go back and examine that. Both the wise and the foolish, they were all asleep. At midnight, they were all asleep. Both. Now I want you to notice Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now I inserted this because I want you to see it. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now look at this. And there were in the same country shepherds, pastors, abiding in the field. The field is the world, keeping watch over their flock by night. Is that what pastors are supposed to be doing? And lo, the angel of the Lord. So when He came the first time, is this typical? So when He came the first time, what did He find? Shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. And what did they see? They saw the glory of the Lord. When He comes again, those pastors keeping watch over their flocks, in the dark night of the age, will they too see the glory of the Lord? See the point I'm making? See, there's little things in the Bible that if you watch, you'll see them. Oh, Brother Dixon, that you're just seeing. Okay. Maybe I'm just seeing things. See the point I'm making? But if you let the Holy Spirit show you things, they'll jump off the Bible pages at you. See the point I'm making? All right, keep looking. Next, Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Be strong. Next, let all your things be done with charity. Next, masters, give your servants that which is just and equal. We shouldn't have to have a minimum wage law, should we? Corporate officers making millions and giving a pittance to their workers. See the point I'm making? Let all your things be done with charity. Next, brethren, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. See? Next, watch you in all things, endure afflictions. See? Next, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now look here. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without a sin offering unto salvation. That's what that means, without sin. Without a sin offering unto salvation. Unto salvation, what does that mean? Unto salvation, and that's referring to the kingdom. Not justification, talking about the kingdom, see. He's coming for those who are looking for him. Are you looking for him? Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The dead in Christ will rise first. All believers are in Christ in that they are justified, but all believers are not in Christ as far as sanctification is concerned. I dealt with that last time, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. Nowhere does the Bible say that the church will be raptured. Only believers that are watching, living as overcomers, will be taken. They make up the firstborn sons, Romans 8:29, and the bride, Revelation 3:4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There are two books of life. There's a book of life for the kingdom, and there's also a book of life for eternity, for the lost. So you have to remember that. All right, Brother Greg, come right ahead.
You've been listening to Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.
Due to the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting ban on public assembly of large numbers of people, Crown of Life Baptist Church will not be holding worship services at the Cambria Hotel until further notice. Please contact me at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com to learn what programs we have implemented to overcome this obstacle. Please pray for the Lord's intervention and for the health of the people of our nation and those around the world as this modern-day plague sweeps across the globe. May your faith in God and His Word increase as a result of these chilling events.